Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Full Disclosure, featuring Shane, Adam, and Drew. And based on some recent domain industry chatter, we get into a conversation of whether domain name sales should be disclosed and if that's good for the industry and how it impacts buying, selling, and brokering domain names. And then we play the domain game featuring dutyfree.com, elitedog.com, and textiler.com. And then we've got the Name Check in a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. We talk about some domains coming up for auction, including smartkitchen.com, nashvilleproperty.com, beautyacademy.com, and charityauctions.com. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. And please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And big shout out to DNWE, short for the Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions, including traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain broker in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. Jayon, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, a.k.a. Thunder Mountain. I think I had another one. There was another. Oh, a.k.a. Repeat. I don't know. You know, Drew hits me with these nicknames all week. I don't know.
I like Polly better.
I don't even think that's a thing, man. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains and AKAs. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become better investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz, my personal friends. Like I said, we're not exactly, they're not exactly guests. They're more like co-hosts. There's four segments to Domain Sherpa Review. We got the grand opening. That's where you are right now, where I intro the Sherpa, see what's going on with them. We talk about some related things, some unrelated things, you know, good stuff. Then we got the domain game, where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses. We keep score, get some swag to the winner, like these hoodies, which everybody, Shane didn't get the memo, unfortunately, although he does have one of these hoodies. He did not get the memo to wear one today, but it's all good. He's rocking the Name Check in a Jet, because that is the third segment. Show him, let him know. Name Check in a Jet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction and see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we hit grand closing, where we discuss anything we haven't already covered, what's going on in the domain space, looking at market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to talk about or promote anything that we have not already discussed, or maybe even something that we already have. We might just repeat some stuff in here. You never know. So let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my boy Adam Strong, a.k.a. John Wick, a.k.a. Up and Adam, a.k.a. Tony La Russa, a.k.a. Adam Antium, a.k.a. Adam Strong to Quite Strong. How's your portfolio, Fokker? A.k.a. Adam, you're only as strong as your weakest back link. What is going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I still need to know about the Fokker one. I'm not 100% of that one.
Dude, have you never seen Meet the Parents? You know what I'm saying?
I have. Why do I get that?
The reference is because he's like, the one guy, so he's a male nurse, right? So everybody's kind of, you know, looking at him a little bit like through that kind of lens. And, they're trying to get to know him a little bit, you know? And they're like, so how's your portfolio, Fokker? And he's like, oh, strong. Quite strong.
Yes.
Nah, and the way he says it is just real funny. The timing, Ben Stiller, is awesome. And so it's strong to quite strong. You know what I'm saying? But it's just the way he says it is very, like, you know, kind of
good reference.
Like awkward and goofy. Like
yeah, it is. That's what I'm saying, man. Nothing but good references in the AKAs. You feel me? All right. Thanks, man. Thank
Double you. Meaning.
Yeah, that's it. All right. To my lower right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, aka Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, aka Drew. Drew got what I need. AKA every Rosner has his thorn. AKA never gonna give Drew up, get Rick rolled, aka Greybeard, the Domain Pirate, who I appreciate really has been rocking the gray beard, you know. So that's like where it all kind of, you know, it all comes together, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I mean, I'm just lazy. I used to shave. I mean, when I say shave, I just do the top of the head and the face all at the same time with the zero. I just go zero hog wild once a week, and these days it's every two and a half weeks. It just grows strong.
Strong, quite strong.
Speaking of which, though, yo, Shane, I got to say, you know, getting back on the grind, full-time jobs, you know, like getting busy is it's been good for you. You look younger. I'm not even playing. I'm not even like you legitimately look like 15 to 20 years younger than you did like 6 months ago. I swear.
I think it's the hair.
It's because I have hair now.
What do you mean? What do you mean because I got hair now? What do you mean?
We'll talk about it off. We, you know, we just explored hair options and we have grown it back. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So there was nothing on top, and now it's a nice full head of hair, all mine, beautiful, thick.
Wow, look at you. That. Dude, you look like 15 years younger. Your skin's glowing.
You know, that's the thing too. He's like shaved because he has to be on these Zooms all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I look like I look homeless, and you look like 25-year-old
crypto bros. Like, I mean, everybody I talk to like just got out of lacrosse. Yeah, all
you know what they say? You are what you eat.
I like. Yeah, I mean, no, there's no doubt. I definitely. Even my wife's like, good job.
Hey, if he approves, then you're definitely winning. So, well, let me go ahead and officially introduce
Shane. Happy wife, happy life.
Well, happy wife, happy life. Yes, sir. All right. Shane Cultra, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, a.k.a. Honey Shane, a.k.a. Mike Rowe, a.k.a. Blame It on the Shane, a.k.a. House of Shane, a.k.a. Blue Oyster Culture, a.k.a. The Culture Personality, a.k.a. The Culture Club, a.k.a. Doing It for the Culture, a.k.a. In Shane in the Membrane, In Shane in the Blockchain. What's up, man? You know what I'm saying?
Domain Chain.
Domain Chain. Hey, so, all right, well, cool. So we're all here in the building. We got some things to do today. I'm excited. So I'm on my like third cup of coffee and it's still pretty early. So I'm feeling pretty good. So one thing I would like to talk about, because this just, before we get into the domain game and before we get into Namejack and the Jet, Drew yesterday on Twitter was posting, so it was Rick Schwartz posted some shit about like, yo, you know, the space needs more comps, right? Comparable sales was basically the drum that Rick was banging. And I want to talk about it today because literally this was just like a yesterday thing. And I think it's cool and relevant. So that was Rick's deal. For those of you who follow Rick, because if you don't, and if you have not been accepted as a follower, then you can't even see his posts. So maybe, if we're talking about being full disclosure of domain sales, why don't we do full disclosure of your tweets, Rick? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? Like, let's go. Come on, man. If we're in the interest of just putting it out there for everybody's benefit. So his opinion was that everyone that's making domain sales but not publishing the sales publicly is doing a disservice to the domain space, which Drew vehemently disagreed. And so Drew, why don't you talk about that a little bit, man? So Rick thinks, hey, we got to publish domain sales for the good of the industry. You're saying as a domain broker, you don't want comps. You think comps are no bueno. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to step it back one step further. Okay, I'm on the historical timeline. So it actually all started the day before with Andy Booth posting that Andrew Miller was so good at trumpeting, I don't know, he has some fruity language around it, but trumpeting, high-end domain sales. And I said, well, that makes him quite the hypocrite, considering every time he gets on stage, he loves to tell everybody how, you know, he's a warrior for customer privacy and, you know, confidentiality and NDAs and all this. And then the moment he makes his, you know, intermittent sale, you know, he sends, you know, he's like a politician. He links it to Elliot, and then Elliot will post immediately, and Elliot hops all over his lap, gives him a little lap dance, and then, you know, gets trumpeted it out there. And everybody's like, oh, my God. And Andrew's like, oh, but I didn't release any details. And then he'll get out there, he'll get on every podcast, and he'll get, you know, comment on every tweet, and he'll be retweeting that shit for the next 6 months about how he didn't disclose the price of this big sale that is speculated. So anyways, I just am so tired of this shit. It's just such ludicrous amateur behavior across the board. Okay. And so then I chimed in and pointed out the hypocrisy. And then the following day, Rick had likely been following this thread, chimed in with his own ideas in a new thread, which was far better written and, you know, thought through than Andy Booth's post. And so then I commented on that, which, you know, you were, let's say, roughly accurate with what he posted. What I said was, I vehemently disagree that comps are what drives this industry forward. I would say that almost on certainly a weekly, if not almost daily basis, run into a brick wall because of a supposed comp from some other domain broker or some other domain owner who has dramatically undersold a domain name. And now that has anchored my buyer in some mindset, completely illogically, that this domain they want to buy should be the same price or less. Okay. Now, first off, I hate the idea of any deal I'm involved in being anchored by some third party that has absolutely no relation to this deal. Okay. Secondly, is the whole idea of comps to me is false on its face, and it's just a marketing ploy. Because there are no two domains which are alike. All domains are individual. Everyone is unique. And even more importantly than the domain names themselves, the scenario in which a domain transaction happens is there has never been two circumstances in the universe under which a domain name was acquired where all variables that went into that decision were similar to another transaction, okay? And then further and more importantly than all of that is simply who is the buyer and who is the seller? And that ultimately, combined with timing, is the most important variables in a transaction, and price comes secondary or tertiary to that. So for all of those reasons, it makes no sense to use a comp. And so all a comp is in a, let's say, opaque industry like domain names where people don't understand value and it's very difficult to even figure out how to get over the target. If you are a buyer with no, you know, let's say expertise or knowledge around the subject, or if you're a seller, okay? And so that's where a broker comes in. And so if a broker is actually doing their job, if a broker is a true market expert, if a broker can communicate and explain what drives the value of this particular domain name for your particular organization, that is how you achieve a better sale. That is how you optimize your outcome, is understanding what drives the value of this particular domain. What are the variables around the growth, the trend, the industry, the scarcity of this particular name, the fact that this particular name cannot be replaced or can be by any other name out there, and then understanding how it very, very specifically applies to you as a buyer and how you as a buyer will generate an ROI over some reasonable period of time for your business by acquiring this domain, most likely in the decreasing of your cost of customer acquisition. Now, that is a joke. That is a broker's job. And if a broker is doing that job, a supposed comp is only a blockade. It is a hurdle to achieving a higher bar, to achieving an absolutely optimized sale. It is a hurdle to fully realizing the intangible dream that is a seed inside of the brain of that potential buyer that it is my job to fertilize and grow and then ultimately harvest it. And comparing it to somebody else is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. It's for the weak-minded. It's for the people who don't understand how to do their job. It is, I understand if you're just an average Joe Domainer, you've got a portfolio of domains and you don't know what they're worth, then comps are useful for you to try and get your head around it. But I can tell you that in terms of driving the industry forward, which is what these gentlemen and other individuals are discussing, it is antithetical. Well,
something about that, gentlemen.
Antithetical.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, hey, real quick. All right. Totally hear you where you're coming from. And I think it's interesting because do you think, obviously, based on, and you touched on this a bit during your rant, which is, you know, kind of what position that you're in this, like this ecosystem might differentiate where your head is at based, you know, on the issue, right? If you're a domain owner versus a domain buyer versus a domain broker, you know, is going to have impact on what you think is best. No, I mean, do you think that, and you know, so Shane, Adam, I'd like to get one of you guys, and Adam, I know you put a poll up, actually, let's talk about this. You put a poll up, I think on Twitter, asking generally if, you know, if somebody sells a domain for seven figures, are you going to report it, right? And what was the, how'd that go?
People like to report their names, but I think it's, that topic is a little bit different than what Drew's talking about, I think. So it crossed paths, but, mm-hmm. You know, I think I agree with Drew a little bit on this, but then I think there also has to be, you can't just operate in a vacuum. And so I think, especially when you're consulting with clients that are, you know, maybe a little bit naive. So I mean, I think comps provide just a, you know, analogize, if you will, art. You know, every piece of art is unique. A Monet is not a Van Gogh, and you know, so looking at prices on art, I think is a very similar situation. But all that information is published, right?
Can I just interrupt for 1 second? I promise I won't.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. The difference between art, and this is really important, the difference between art, which is just purely a collectible, and a domain name, is the commercial aspect and the.
I'm not comparing them.
No, but it's critical. It's critical because when analyzing a piece of art, there is no underlying value to it outside of how it makes you feel, your ability to pay for it.
I won't argue on that.
Perceived scarcity. That's it. There's no commercially derived value.
I'm not talking about the objects, comparing the objects. I'm talking about comparing the markets and how the comps in those particular markets help propel the market or give somebody
in art,
a background.
Though, it's the only way to drive the market forward is comps, right? There is no other way other than the unique case where somebody absolutely must have and it's emotion.
Yeah.
But in domain names, that's my whole point, is that I don't think that that's true.
Sure.
In fact, I know it's not true.
Shane, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so my underlying thesis is always data is good. Right. Data is good. There's no denying that the more information we have, the difference between us and the average person is we have so much more information on sales and data that we have a complete picture and understand it better than anyone. And it's not shared information, whether it's NDA or not publicized, but that's something that we have, something that nobody else does. So we're not always as concerned with everybody else. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. The fact is we have a ton of information that helps us move forward with our pricing. Drew's right as well. This is, if you're talking about the average person, the more information they get, the better. If you're talking about providing headwinds and objections to our customers, then you're doing that as well. So data can make, if you beat data to death, it'll say anything you want it to say, right? So that's what we're looking at here is, in general, you can't argue that data and information on sales is an overall positive for the average person. At the same time, the more you have, the more people are going to beat it into making what your offer not acceptable. So it's just our job as brokers and sellers is to inform the customer that what they see is not what we have. That's our job, is to make sure that they're informed, because they're going to be informed with what they have. And we just have to bring that extra information and data that we know and share it at that point. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And what's up?
Sorry. No, I was just going to ask a question. It sounded like in your rant that you were upset or vocal about this.
I'm never
because,
upset.
I just Yeah, fired up.
Passionate.
Because that information and those numbers hold a bar. You know, it creates this bar and this barrier for, you know, like if the top sale is recorded as $86 million and it's cars.com, nobody's going to go over $86 million because that bar has been set. It's cars.com and I own strong.com, and strong.com and cars.com are nowhere near each other. And so therefore, you know, my ask is ridiculous. So, I mean, is that generally speaking what you're talking about? And because cars.com,
let's say more or less exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I completely get that. So cars.com and strong.com are two unique paintings, if you will. You know, they both have different qualities. And so
even if you say strong.com and tough.com, mm-hmm. or strong.com and, I don't know, energy.com. Right?
Well, I'm using that strong.com as an example because it's obviously I'm going to pay more for that.
Yeah.
It's emotional. It has a significance to me that the three of you won't have the same, you know, connection, obviously. So, I mean, I think
you know, Shane is very strong, you know what I'm saying? So it's, you know,
yeah,
continue.
I don't know about you two, but whatever. So I guess you threw me off there for a minute here. JT. So I think that, I mean, I agree with Drew here, but I just think we can't just operate in this vacuum of zero information. I mean, so that's kind of along the lines of what Jane said.
I will preface it with this. So again, the two conversations that I'm referring to and that I got all excited about are talking about how to move the industry forward, how to raise the bar on sales values. Okay. And on that particular subject, we're talking about high-end domain sales. Comps have no place. They don't belong. Anybody trying to include them in a sales pitch is doing a disservice to their client. And, you know, I don't know. I think I've made my point. Okay. But yeah, on the lower end, I think that values are a lot more arbitrary. It's much more opportunistic. And I think that just sort of knowing, I mean, I would say that's kind of how I price my domains that are, let's say, you know, $50,000 and less. Particularly the $25,000 and less, I price them based on the buckets of where I see names that are, like, let's say, in kind selling. So, you know, sort of a brandable with no particular search volume, but it could make a decent brand. It's always in that $10,000 to $25,000 bucket. And I adjust it according to sort of where I see it in that vector, right? And there's a $5,000 to $10,000 bucket. And this is not an exact science. And I'm basing almost all of that off of not necessarily comps, but just the brackets in which I see large volumes of names of kind, whether it's a two word, low search volume, or, you know, whatever it might be. Okay. Categorically, where do those types of names sell? Which bucket? But when we get into the six figures and the seven figures, there are far too many variables that are critical to achieving an optimal outcome for a high-end domain sale. And none of those variables are applicable to any other deal that ever took place. And so using a comp makes no sense.
Yeah. And I think you make so there's a few really important pieces of what you're saying, I think. And that is that, you know, it's situation specific in that what you're talking about, as far as the point that you're making about comps being sort of detrimental and irrelevant, is really related to high value, super premium domain sales, right? I think that when you look at other aspects and other areas of the industry, I think there's probably times where, you know, comps and data is helpful. And I do think data matters, right? In fact, I think part of the challenge too is Drew, you've got the Rosner equation, right? And not to make it, you know, I know your head's already big enough, but, like, you know, as sort of one, if not the preeminent expert on domain valuation, you know, you approach that from a very specific place related to a very specific scenario of your role as a broker, more often than not, looking to help a client sell a very high value domain name, right? And in that instance, it's kind of where you're coming from. The poll that Adam ran, I want
to just a little nuance there. I mean, I mostly agree, and I do think that there is a, let's say, there's some sense of a comp if we're looking at data as opposed to comps. So if we're saying here's another name, okay. Now I still don't like it because I don't know the scenario about who sold it and who the broker was, if there was a broker. You know, buyer came to the seller went to the buyer. All of those things matter. But you can say, well, this name has 100,000 exact match searches and a $2.50 cost per click. And the trend is, let's say, more or less neutral. And you can look at another name. And I would say not necessarily transaction price will or should be similar because, again, depends more on timing, buyer and seller. But the value of those names is similar. There is a commercially similar derived value between those two domain names. And so there is a conversation that can be had and which we often do have. But to just say this domain has five letters and this domain has five letters and they're both really good words, we can use them. That's stupid.
We report sales.
You literally shouldn't even call yourself a domain broker if you think that that's a good idea.
Hey, there's reported sales on NameBio every day of names that you look at and you're like, what is this garbage? And the reason it's selling for $5,000, $20,000 is completely opaque to most people.
Totally.
You know, when we look at it, it's, oh, this one has X amount of backlinks or this one has, you know, a profile, whatever. There's a bunch of variables that are completely foreign to other people when they look at it just on the surface level. So it happens every day. I mean, those names, you can't use those as comps in a, you know, strong.com versus gobbledygook.com, whatever the name is. You can't use those as comps. So I think one of the things that I think we're like, I jumped in this conversation about reporting sales because because of my experience with NameBio and the fact that what I read you saying was we're not going to report sales because we don't want them to be used as comps and I don't want people to use things as comps. So I could agree with you on this comp thing because everything's unique. But I still think reporting sales is important. So that's my I'm done with mine. So I don't have to go on for 20 minutes about it. But I did find it interesting though, taking the poll to see if people, if you make a seven, you and I have had this discussion before where you've told me not to report sales because of other reasons, but I think it's interesting to ask, you know, the broader audience, you know, who's going to report a sale? You know, are you going to report a sale if you have a seven figure sale? And I'm not really surprised about the results, but.
Well, that's a great segue in because I was going to mention that. So looking at the results, I've got them up, right? So the specific question was, you sell one of your domains for a seven-figure sale today. Are you reporting it, right? So now we're talking about a domain owner selling a very high-value domain, and you had 200 and almost 250 people vote in this thing. Several thousand people viewed the poll. And the results actually, on yes, absolutely is about 40%, right? So 40%, less than half, but a big chunk are saying, yep, definitely. No way is 30%. So you've got 30% of those people saying, nope, I'm not reporting it. And then you have the other third basically saying, maybe someday, you know? So kind of a, I don't know, depends how I feel, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, today's a no, tomorrow might be a yes. You know, so I actually think it's pretty interestingly spread out. I don't think it's overwhelmingly everyone saying, yeah, I'm going to report that shit ASAP. Right. And now, but this kind of goes back to what I was saying before. What I think is interesting is not all situations are the same. Right. So even this one is nuanced in that you're coming from the shoes of a domain owner selling a domain who might not want to disclose it for other reasons. They don't care about necessarily the domain space. Maybe some people are thinking of it like, oh, yes, I think I should report it because it's good for the overall domain industry. Maybe they're thinking, no, I don't want to report it because I don't want to have people like knocking on my door saying, hey, I see you made all this money. You know, could I get a loan? You know what I mean? So you have different like things that are going
to drop. Let me introduce you to my $5 wrench.
Let me introduce you to the cleaver that I bought and you know, off the wall at the restaurant in Austin, Texas. But you know, I think that's kind of
camel bone.
Yeah, where's the camel bone at? We got that too. Yo, man.
Camel bone's
weapons.
Never far. Let me tell you something. Camel bone's never far.
He's got that weird back. Right, he's now, got man. That weird back massager thing in the background there too. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you step in here, I might, you know, fix your sciatica. But you know,
hey, don't listen.
Yeah, that's not
this is the best. This is, I don't remember if it was like $15 or $25. It is the best of $15 or $25 you will ever spend in your life.
Oh, I mean, that should
never be able to get $100 for that anymore.
There's the camel bone.
Camel bone. There you go. So
camel bone.
But I think the
ride or die.
But the point is that I think what you have, which is always interesting, and I used to say this a lot, like, you know, so when I ran NameJet, one of the biggest challenges we had was I was like, you know, we're always going to have certain friction on the platform because you can't please everyone because you've got different sort of goals on the part of your customer base, right? When you would say like, all right, well, who's your customer, right? Who's your client? Well, on a platform, it's kind of like both the buy end and the seller, right? So you've got the buyers and the sellers. The buyers want to buy names as cheap as possible. The sellers want to get as much money as they can possibly get for every domain. So at some point, that dichotomy or that, you know, sort of that division between goals of like, call them equally important customer or client sets, is going to lead to friction that is always going to kind of create this sort of like, can't ever get 100% buy-in from everybody because everybody's goals are different, right? And I think in the domain industry, it's similar because you've got people buying, people selling, people reporting, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, there's different things that matter to different people, right? So I guess then my big question, let me kick it to Shane, who's probably spoken the least in this conversation. You know, for the overall good of the domain space, right? Like in order, and what we, and what does that even mean, right? You think data, data, data can't make jars without clay. Data can be manipulated and led to say anything or make the point we want to make. But you think you'd rather see more than less, right? I mean, that seems to be kind of where you're at.
I mean, and there's no better group that's given back to the industry than what's sitting here, right? Like, as far as somebody telling us to give back to the industry, between our carbon footprint and giving back to the domain industry, those are two things I'm pretty sure we've covered well. Between NameBio being, you know, the best source of information, Domain Sherpa being the best source of information, so. To me, that's where I start. Like we're definitely doing that part. But again, yeah, information is good. People, you have to start somewhere. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Information is where you start. It's the intelligent and the skilled that take that information and use it in the right way and build on it. People that don't have it rely on that and that only. Like, you know, there's a reason that people drive into the ocean following MapQuest and Waze, you know, right?
That is it. Excellent. Like,
yeah, that was the best analogy ever.
Literally, I watch women in Hawaii on one area drive into the water consistently because they're relying on that data so solely. That's the problem. So
that's why I took off my Whoop. I don't wear my Whoop anymore because that shit was driving me into the ocean blindly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, the idea, because, and another thing, this kind of goes back to the point about divergent interests, right? And we've seen comps have different impact across, like, just with our clients. Sometimes a comp that is either untrue or inflated or not provided without the proper context and background information could make a seller think their name's worth more than they should be selling it for. On the flip side,
we have a
Yep. So hold on.
For seven-figure, potentially eight-figure deal that is getting blown up right now because of a comp that is entirely fake, but is accepted to be publicly true.
Right. So yeah. Hey, Drew, I'm gonna
from another broker in the industry.
So now we know where this rant is coming from.
Well, no, but he's actually no. But Drew,
no, this is as of today. This all started, coincidentally, it could be more timely, but this rant started before that even happened.
Well, and Drew's point in the rant was actually on the flip side, where a comp that's, you know, comps that are too low are creating a challenge on the buyer's side in the buyer understanding the true value domains. So again, I think it is a very complicated mix, this primordial soup that makes up the domain space, because you have all these different sort of factors and variables. And I don't know that there's a perfect answer. I think that it's pretty amazing the way that it's evolved without, you know, having tons of transparency, and that you've got name bio. And obviously what we do on Domain Sherpa, we disclose more domain sales, you know, aside from name bio, probably than anybody, right? And so, you know, I think all of that is helpful, you know, but I think when you get into the different pieces, and like, again, this is why I think it's very situation specific. And then, you know, you're talking about a high level, super premium domain, you know, then it's really important that, you know, you hope that the people that are involved are listening to the experts to be able to drive them to really where it should end up based on the actual facts, data that matters, information that's actually relevant. And, you know, and not just like, you know, kind of to the point of, you know, fake sales and things that, you know, are going to create, you know, create other friction that is a real tough hurdle to get over, that you have no control over. So, yeah, I think it's interesting stuff, man. I think it's all cool. And, so we shall see, but all opinions appreciated. And, you know, and I think part of it too with Miller, one last point, you know, is like part of it is that he likes to disclose, like, I just did this huge sale. Can't say anything about it. You know, it's like, it's just like, okay, well, like, how helpful is that? So I think when numbers do get disclosed, you know, people are like, oh, thanks for finally disclosing some numbers, you know. And then you get Drew being like, let me tell you about them numbers, you know. And but I think it's great conversation. And I think at the end of the day, there's so many good people that are doing big, important things in this space, driving it forward just based on the activity that is happening, you know, providing day in and day out, you know. And big shout out to Miller for this, because he's always, you know, kind of waving the flag about the true value of domains, especially, you know, premium, one word, high value .com domain names, and the value that they bring to the end users that ultimately buy them, you know, and justifying the value that, you know, that they're worth. So, you know, so it's all good. I think it's great. And I think it's great when you get really important people having important sort of conversations, spirited and otherwise. So, all right, well, let's close that out unless you guys have anything else to say, because we still got to rock the domain game and name checking the jet. Any last words? All right, we're going to take acceptance by silence, baby. Let's get it. This was good stuff, man. And Adam, appreciate your poll. I think it's great. And you see the split across the poll. The poll's pretty split. All right, well, let's rock and roll. Let's keep it moving. That's all good stuff. Domain game.
Adam. I heard that Olympic high jumper said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You miss out on a gold medal because of your package, you know. It's like, I don't know, I'd be kind of torn on that. I'd be like, I don't know, you know, like,
I'll take that publicity over a gold medal. We're good.
Exactly.
You would be torn, like, on that.
All of a sudden his Tinder's blowing up, you know what I'm saying? It's like, anyway, all right, so Adam, buy, sell, what do you got? We're sliding into the domain game. We're gonna hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. We're gonna move kind of quick, but
skip me for a second, because I've got nothing to report. I don't want to release any data.
Let's go into the name game and then come back.
Self-serving. Drew, what do you got? You got
I got one. I got okay, one. I'm actually prepared today.
There I go.
Yeah.
All right. This is a buy. Duty free.
It's the one you told me about.
Dutyfree.com?
Oh, yeah, I told
you. Well, you told me, but okay. You didn't tell me the price. You didn't tell me the price.
No?
No, you didn't. I didn't follow back up with you, so that's my fault for not following up, but go ahead. It works out.
So, and I actually, I'm out on this one. So this is a
buy, so it's just, okay.
Adam and Shane, you guys can get started with a nice, you know, a point. Dutyfree.com.
Duty free.
It's my duty.
I actually, you know, I hadn't really been buying, but I feel like the economy weakening and people getting a little scared and a lot of uncertainty out there, and, you know, Bitcoin hit the skids. And I think, I don't know, it seemed like the last week or two, everybody, you know, I've seen a lot of weakening hands. And I got some, you know, a lot of opportunities just came at me in the last week or two. I bought a lot of domains in the last 2 weeks.
You did.
All right, ready?
And I probably bought more domains in the last 2 weeks than I did in the last year and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty close. All right, ready? Let's flip it. 3, 2, 1. Let's see it, boys. All right. Shane is at 9,500. Adam is at 50,000.
Shane got that time machine out. Shane went
all the way back.
I mean, when I think of duty free, I think of that dusty bottles at the airport. Like, I don't know what the market of duty free.
Yo, for somebody online. That flies a lot, dog, I mean, you got a weird perception of duty free because, you know, I don't know, the airports I go through, it's like makes up about 30% of the airport.
Like walking through a mall sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know, but I do buy, I guess I just don't know if people buy shit there or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
people. They buy lots.
I don't know
of
the duty free model. And then can you make that duty free model online, or do you have to be at that?
It already is.
See, that's my lack of information. There you go.
Lack of data. All right. So, is Adam the winner?
Adam is the winner by default. The price was $35,000.
Yeah, it was actually the score wasn't that far apart. I mean, Shane wasn't that far off of the bottom compared to where Adam was.
I was just playing a game. I wasn't doing true
15K price. To 25K. It's not that big of a spread, but
just trying to win the award, man, in the back.
All right. I kind of thought you guys would be guessing higher. So, you know, a little bit of background. We were brokering that domain name for. I want to say it was like 2.5 million. I don't know how many years ago, but you know, years ago. And I always loved it. I've loved that domain for a really long time. I don't know. I think it's worth a lot. It was. I will admit it was difficult. We obviously didn't find a buyer. But there are massive companies in the duty free space. It's one of the largest online retail, you know, let's say segments. And I don't know. I think it's one of those absolute just category defining killer broad spectrum domains. So, anyways, I was pretty happy with it at 35 grand. Oh. I think that's my favorite purchase of the last, you know, for quite a while.
Well, now I feel horrible.
So you're gonna get to it. Are you gonna?
I feel like I just called your baby ugly. hey man,
I'm the first guy that gets on here and you know screams and yells and tells everybody don't even think about you know developing your domains or anything like that. But I am kind of contemplating using duty free. I'm contemplating having somebody hack together some really straightforward, easy, let's say top 50 category. You know, little online retail that I can then use to just drive, basically use as like a parking platform and then use all my domains and start driving the traffic there to, you know, specific categories or whatever it might be. I don't know. I just got it. I have no idea.
Where we are.
This is probably a pipe dream. The chances I'm going to actually do anything are very low.
Is that a Bernadoodle or a Golden Doodle? What's that?
Yep.
Special guest. Shane's going to bring his dog now.
No, I'm
sorry, passing. I just came up.
Are we doing dog? Is dogs on the show?
Oh, my dog day.
That's it.
Dog day? It's the dog day?
Dog day. That's it. Well, you know, we love our dogs. Our dogs were with us already. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, let me go get my dog from the cage I put him in the backyard.
Mine's not getting up. He's not moving a bit.
That's funny. Mine just wandered up to me, so. It's because his mama's busy.
Yeah, mine has been, I think I said it. I don't know if I said it on the podcast or after. He's probably been part of 1,000 podcasts over the last, you know, he's
your dog,
it's literally, this isn't even my house and he's sleeping next to me. It doesn't matter where I go. That guy's with me. Easy. Look at that thing. Hold on. That looks like the same thing Adam has.
All right. Bigger version.
Bigger version. Mine didn't even move and all that.
We got another girl. What's up? She's like, oh, I'm in this piece too. What's up? I'm here. I'm just here for the treats. It's here for the treats.
Gotcha. Here we go. Yeah. Behind yeah, one of them big old a good dog.
Beverly Hills dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
They're cool.
I'm glad you got I got a man's dog. I don't know what you guys got.
Yeah.
I got
my,
a street.
My dogs are my wife's dogs that they're family, so they're all good. Those are girls. But bring your dogs to work day. See, we support, like, that's how we roll here at
all right, I got a name then. I got a name.
All right, let's go. Let's keep it moving.
I bought elitedog.com.
Oh, okay.
Let's go. Totally unplanned. Unplanned.
Totally unplanned. That's pretty funny. And I've seriously been buying pet and dog names ever since I have one. It just makes me think every day how huge the category is between what I spend on them and where we travel. Like, it's just,
well, huge. It's funny because, I mean, obviously, you know, and you know, with pets and things and, you know, the pet market and just the different services and the products and the food and all that stuff. You know, I saw a meme on Instagram or something that I sent to my wife the other day that was like your friend circle as you get older. And it's like in your 20s, it's like all the, and it's done by like almost like a graph of like people's like faces that represent faces, and it gets smaller and smaller until the last one's just a dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
no, that's, I warmed up, you know, you have to warm up your email for brokerage, right? To make sure your emails get through. I was doing bringyourdog.com, and I emailed every hotel just to ask them if I could bring my dog and what it would cost. And they always respond. So that would just keep my emails warmed up. So I was using that as an email service and finding out about what it would cost.
That's probably the best alpha that got dropped on this show right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. We talked about the DMARC.
You have to email them and they have to respond for you to warm your email. And that's something that hotels always do. Can I bring my dog? No.
That's awesome. Love it. So it's elitedogsingular.com.
Elitedog.com.
All right. All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Flip.
But it's fun.
All right. Oh, I went high. I'm hyped on the dogs right now. All right. So Drew's at $288. Adam's at $525. I'm at $3,000.
Adam's a winner. $600.
All right. Adam is the winner. So basically that gives Adam the whole, Adam, you got to throw, if you have a domain, we should do it, but you are the winner.
One. Pick a prize behind Drew, like the old Wheel of Fortune. Just pick one off.
Camelbone.
That's awesome. Camelbone or an escrow domain broker of the year.
I'll take the rest in gift certificate, Pat.
Camelbone.
That is so funny. That's
real valuable shit.
You Wheel of Fortune, where you that well. They pick the stuff out.
That wouldn't be if you could really see what was on these shelves. It would be your first choice.
Yeah, there's that, probably gold
remember
bars.
Remember that old Wheel of Fortune? You get your money.
There,
and go, I'll take the 2019 escrow award for $800, and then I'll take the shelf, the bird egg book for $200, and then I'll take the rest in gift certificates.
Here we got.
Oh man! Oh, you got coins and gems. You got all sorts of stuff back.
Oh,
yeah, we got all kinds of shit.
Wait till you bring that meteorite from like
our big old.
Yeah, we can't see it. It's a box.
Sapphire.
That's a sapphire.
It looks like
gemstone. Gemstone.
An empty AirPod case.
We got fun shit.
I got Scotch tape.
an iPhone.
Pain, 100 milligram pain relief cannabis cream. Yes.
Water glass.
Got my Pegasus.
Oh, look at that rhino horn.
Yeah.
All right, you want another name? I got another name.
Let's go.
This one is an oldie. It's Tex Tyler. Tex Tyler by TEXTILER.com.
Tex Tyler,
like a person that does textiles.
Yes.
Or a machine or yeah.
All right.
And you bought it?
Or it's like the note in the bathroom, text Tyler.
Yes.
Yes. No, it's not a double T.
Text Tyler. All right.
Not your grinder. It's not your grinder account.
There was a QR code next to it.
Oh man. Satisfaction guarantee.
Is this a sale?
No, it's a buy.
Bought. Oh,
no, buy. Sorry, my bad.
Another industry.
Why would you buy that name?
Here we go. Hey,
I'm not changing my price.
3, 2, 1. Flip it. All right. Ooh, okay. Drew's at 588. I'm at 600. And Shane is at 980. So we're all right in the...
Shane got it.
Whoa, Shane, taking a point home.
Buy it, but you overpaid.
Come on, the textile man. Industry.
What'd you buy it for?
You don't know the textile industry.
What'd you buy it for?
Just right around that, like 1,000, like, I don't know. It was like 1,009, I think.
Okay.
Wait, textile. Is this with the Y, like Styler, Tech Styler?
No, it's he spelled it at the beginning. He said T-E-X-T-I-L-E-R, like textiler, like you're going to lay textile.
Yeah, I mean, if you put, you know, you integrate the style in there, you know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
What is it?
Textile, like fabric.
Yeah.
With an E-R.
Oh, fabric, right. It's not actual tile.
Someone who deals in garments and textiles.
Not tile. I got you, big brain. I got you. Textiles, yes, it's a fabric. Playing like creating machine.
Just don't worry about it.
That was such an easy win for me.
You should, you sell that name for like 30 grand, you got to talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
Play this clip of us stepping all over our fucking selves.
We'll do.
You're like, all right, well, good
stuff, guys. It'd be interesting. I mean, I wonder if Billy's way to like, Billy to pull out all the domains we've ever talked about on the show and then like, I don't know.
Go back and see if,
Yeah.
We can definitely pull old examples. I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah.
It's funny when I do a sale, like what did I do? Your logo here. As soon as I posted it, everybody talked about the show. You talked about that on the show and you went over that one and why it was important. And you knew what you were talking about. Like it gave me street cred for believing why I bought it and explained why I bought it. And then when I sold it, it was sold to that. So yeah, no, there's a lot of
history. People rarely ever take our advice, but they definitely remember every freaking word we said.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
It's an interesting 100%. Dynamic. Yeah. So,
well, we talk enough. There's got to be some gems in there, right? a broken clock's right twice, I guess they say, something like that.
Yeah, exactly right. Broken clocks and textilers.
Textilers. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Well, good stuff. Congratulations, Adam. Another hoodie on the way. Get you the fishing one, the white one next.
You get some caps.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I like it.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, well, let's hustle through NameJack and a Jet, and then we're going to wrap it up. We've got about maybe 10 minutes left on the clock, and then we will call it. So real quick, let's go ahead and pull up the list. Drew, you're first, if you can get to it, and let me know what you like, what don't you like. You can go to the site, everybody. Go to domainsherpa.com, go to the post, pull the Excel spreadsheet. We've got the list of names. We've got the when you have to have your back orders in, if you want to back order in advance, how many back orders as of the time we put the report together. And then along with some other data, ask about appraisals, take those with a grain of salt, all that good stuff. Data, data, data. Can't make jars without clay.
Data.
So.
All right. Okay. So. Yeah, I don't love a lot of it. I don't like many of these, but I like Smart Kitchen. SmartKitchen.com. I mean, that's definitely on the come up. You know what I mean? You got robots in the kitchen now.
Yeah.
Who needs a wife? I'm just playing. Shout out to all the wives out there. You are very appreciated. We love you. I like Smart Kitchen. I like it a lot. I'd probably price that in the 150 range. But again, I price that now in the 150 range, even 250 range, but with the idea that there's a window of time in which there's any conceivable notion that you might achieve such a price. And as time goes on, that window probably diminishes past the next year or two.
Yeah, would that be your sale?
And then it'll be all about brands, right? And then as an emerging industry develops and evolves, most, let's say, the brand objective goes from generic, which is great, better for new user adoption for an emergent technology, an emergent industry, to more tactical, strategic, brandable, creative, you know, later on. Okay. So that's really the only one I would think I like.
That would be part of your selling to the wave thing that you're always saying.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Charity auctions is also good. I forgot what the website is, but there's a really good website that like auctions off, you know, musical instruments, experiences with celebrities, lunch with, you know, whatever. They do a lot of that charity auction stuff, and it's called something like that, charitable giving. I don't remember what it's called, but I like charity auctions because I think that's a big market. And that's the name. So I like that one a lot too.
Yeah, we've done some things for my kid's school and some other in the church and stuff. And, they use different apps and things. But if you could create some pretty cool, you know, software that you could use for, you know, the purpose of running that kind of stuff, I think that would be pretty cool. You know, there's obviously instant validity there for people that are then using the links to do what they do. So, all right, cool. Shane, what do you like? What don't you like?
Yeah, you know, I liked Kitchen Master, and I assumed it had a trademark, but I look and there's nothing on. I mean, there's a trademark for computer hardware and recorded computer software. Other than that, there's nothing, which is really surprising.
Wow.
Yeah. To me, Kitchen Master sounds like something my grandmother had, like that was her first blender or something, you know?
Yeah.
KitchenAid, and then Master Chef.
Yeah,
right? So we're probably it's probably conflating those two.
Yeah, in our minds.
Makes it a great brand.
No, exactly. It sounds, the minute you launch, it sounds like an existing
household name.
Yeah,
household name day one.
Yeah, so I do like that one with that thought. Nashville property is going to have some value. I mean, that, you can't get a hotter market than that right now, and definitely somebody could leverage that name and pay for a lot of it using that, because it's not realtor, it's not trademark stuff, it's Nashville property. So I really like that one as well. And successor is good. As a guy that comes from a fifth generation business, succession plan, succession help, getting businesses through multi-generational is a huge business. Like, it's just something that people don't realize. Most businesses don't make it to a second generation, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of value in helping people progress through that. So those three I like, and then I'll give one I don't like, like book stands. I just don't think it's a market right now that's big enough to go on its own and to set up, a whole website on. So that's the kind I stay away from. Maybe in 2007, I would have taken it for type-in traffic.
Yep, I'm with you. Interestingly, you talk about book stands. One thing that's been popping up in my social is these kits that you put together that are book, that you put on your bookshelf in between books. And I don't know if there would be book stands necessarily, but I forget what they call them. But, you know, you can put them together with your kids, and some of them involve movement and light. Bookends. Yeah, they're like book. Yeah, it's like bookends, but you put it like in the middle, you know, like your books, and then in between, it almost looks like
book middles.
That sounds like something that somebody really stoned invented. Like, yo, dude, I got this idea. Instead of having bookends, we're going to put it in the middle.
Well, and it's interesting, but the shit is super cool.
It's like, it won't actually do anything to support the books, but how cool is that? Instead of being on the edge, we're going to put it in the middle. That's how that went down.
My favorite is they sell old books by the pound on Etsy, and so that you can have a bookshelf that looks amazing, but shit you never read or even care about. It just physically looks fantastic. And then you add your book middles to it, and it's really,
you know what they, and that's, you know what they call them?
That's
they
what Drew's
them,
got.
Yeah, they don't call them book middles. They call them book nooks. And they're intended to fill space in your, like, you know, on your shelf amongst your books. And there's a company called Anavrin. I don't know if it's like a foreign thing, but they do these really cool little tableaus, like a little train station. And it involves, like, again, it's movement, and it's light and shit like that. And they are so cool looking. And it's like, I really want to buy, because I think it would be the kind of thing you could put together with your kids. We do puzzles and stuff. Like, it's the next level. It's like a combination of like an Arduino. You know what I'm talking about? Like the things.
You don't have to explain it. It's going to be on our TikToks just because you fucking talked about it. Now it's going to be.
I can't wait. I hope you guys.
Probably an ad on my phone right now for those.
I hope you guys get into it and tell me if it's worth buying. All right, cool. Adam, real quick. I know you got to go here in a minute. What do you like or don't like on the list?
Actually, this is a pretty good list this time around. I don't like the org, chili.org. I'm just going to give you the ones I don't like. I don't really like Miami Tutor, although there's probably some potential there on the lower end. I do like Plano, Texas. Nashville Property, I kind of like that. Property in Nashville is going bonkers. Yeah, out of the geo stuff, I think is pretty decent. I mean, there's always somebody, you know, willing to buy those. So those are probably going to see some bidding. But yeah, the other ones that the guys already said are pretty decent too. So Beauty Academy is pretty decent.
Yeah. And we talk about, you know,
custom,
all these
custom tire, worth. Maybe.
Yeah, I think all these are worth a bid, right? It's just a question of, you know, how much beyond that and what can you get them for, you know? You know, one name that's on here that is kind of sort of meets the criteria you guys mentioned before about sort of a combination or playing off of existing brands that already have mind share for people. What about RadioShop.com? RadioShop.
Well, Radio Shack's toast, right? Now it's owned by Grant Cardone.
Okay.
I don't even know. He started sending like personal tweets from the Radio Shack. This is like a year or two ago. He bought it out of bankruptcy. He bought the brand, the IP, and he was like sending personal tweets from the Radio Shack Twitter account. I was like, dude, like that was like a lesson, like how to destroy millions or tens of millions of dollars in intellectual property value in one tweet. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, you know, the show Young Sheldon, which is like a successor prequel to The Big Bang Theory. And, you know, Sheldon's kind of super, you know, nerdy stuff. And, you know, there's one where he's like goes into Radio Shack is like his jam. That's like the thing he gets as a reward is to get to go to Radio Shack and kind of tool around. And he's like, and the one thing that always gives me, you know, comfort is knowing that this store will be here forever. You know, and it was just funny, you know, and but yeah, I guess that there you're like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and sort of try to leverage brand equity that no longer actually exists, you know? So
yeah,
maybe Radio Shop is the move. All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks, except Adam.
Nobody buys radios anymore either.
Well, that's exactly right. There is. Well, that's what I mean. It's like you're trying to build off of brand equity off of it just doesn't really even actually exist.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe not the name that you want to go ahead and spend all your money on in an effort to try to resell it.
A derivative of zero is still zero.
Exactly right.
Hey, and it has some podcast value, but not huge.
Kind of.
I mean, if you had somebody editing, I'd feel comfortable having somebody called Radio Shop editing my podcast. I mean, that sounds
cool. Yeah, a little media type, you know, brand.
Yeah, media.
A little media support brand. I like that. All right, cool. All right, well, listen, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Especially enjoyed talking about the comp conversation. That was timely and appreciate you guys chiming in. Adam, appreciate you doing that poll. It'll be interesting to see what everybody else, you know, some more of the feedback as that does what it does. Anybody have anything else? I know, Adam, I know you got to jump. You got some stuff going on. I know, Shane, you're super busy. And obviously, Drew, let's get offline so we can start yelling at me about
Still doing DSAD, giving comps every day. All the GoDaddy auction results are there every day. If you want to go see them, if you want comps, we do put them up there.
Well, I think the data, though, this goes to what Drew said, too, about the different buckets of names, right? Like, you know, obviously, when we're talking about super, super premium stuff that's one of one, like true, I used to say domains are like snowflakes, but then snowflake was co-opted as such a negative term that we don't even really say it anymore. We're like, they're like fingerprints. You know, and that they're unique. If you're in the lower sort of realm, right, then you've got some commonality that you can use to leverage this, you know, say that some names should have similar values, right? We used to see it with, you know, 4character.coms or the numeric domains when there was the, you know, the big China wave and stuff like that. But, I think in the auction level, I think the disclosing of values, and that's a lot of what you see on name bio and all that kind of stuff, I think that's super important. because there's a ton of activity that happens at that, you know, every single day in the domain auction. So I think that shit is extremely important. Otherwise, you'd be in a real vacuum just trying to rely on like GoDaddy or Estabot, you know, valuations to give you some sense of what a domain might be worth if you don't know any better. So, you know, so yeah, I think that's obviously super important. So DSAD, everybody, make sure you don't sleep. That's still very much in the mix. Anything else, Shane?
All good. Just talking to me all
day.
Got some
wild shit going on. At some point, we got to do a show, a rabbit hole about just your new gig and everything you guys got going on.
Man, it's a crazy world. I know Adam's got to go, but yeah, I mean, being in a startup and getting you there, it's a great experience. I enjoy it. It's something you got to keep moving for, right? You can't Benjamin Button if you just sit around. You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're on your Benjamin Button shit right now.
Yeah, and I go to Singapore this weekend, so I get to talk to 50,000 25-year-olds, so it'll be
awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
Great, man. So, and you are your age is their combined age.
That's right. I'm Papa. Everybody asks me for a job. They assume I'm the owner, so.
Exactly. They're like, or a loan or something, you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, oh, you so-and-so's dad? But just aging backwards. We say that about Braden, too.
Yeah,
I just saw that.
That's one of his AKAs.
Not to go on another tangent, but in Japan, they have an app where you rent a grandfather, and you rent them by the hour. And people just want like a grandfather.
All right, Adam is out. Adam, you want to say anything on your way out the door?
I gotta say nothing. I gotta bounce though. Thank you.
All right. Peace out, man. Thank you so much.
Peace out.
All right, everybody else, we're gonna get going now that Adam's gone. There's no reason for us to keep this going since he left. And I want to say thanks, everybody. I mean, you guys, obviously, for the time. Always great information sharing, including sharing domain sales. And to the audience, thank you guys. As I say at every show, without you, there is no us. So thank you all for tuning in, and please continue to do so. And we're not hard to find. So chime in on the, you know, on what we're talking about regarding the comp piece and, you know, and anything else, the good, the bad, the ugly. Again, we are not hard to find. And we will otherwise see everybody next time. Here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, y'all. Appreciate y'all.